What's going on, everybody? Welcome into the Westside Sports Podcast. It is June 3rd, 2024. I am back on the mic. Apologies for the wait. There was this substantial break in between the podcast. I started up new employment, getting my schedule figured out, but that's, you know, a different conversation for a different audience for a different day. I'm back. We have a lot to talk about. As always, I am your host, Dakota Ezri. Welcome in to the podcast. If you enjoy my conversation, the topics, and the overall just stats and stuff I bring to you, please do me a favor, subscribe, leave a rating. I would greatly appreciate it. And we are going to have, if you want a Mariners heavy podcast, this is the one you're going to want to listen to. No Seahawks today. On this one, I just want to talk about the Mariners that I've seen, the AL West overview. I got some different segments I'm going to toss in here for you guys as well. Let's strap up, click in our seatbelts, and let's get ready on this crazy adventure today. Hope you guys are having a blessed and wonderful day while we're at it. The Mariners, our Seattle first place Mariners, currently with a record of 34 wins and 27 losses, are 7-3 in their last 10 games. When we think of Mariners baseball, you think of, I still call it Safeco, right? You think of Safeco or T-Mobile, and the ball is known, it doesn't carry, but there's something that happens within the thickness of that marine layer right on the water. It's called chaos ball. And we've been fine-tuning this chaos ball like an old restoration car. You got to get the right headlight. You got to get the right shortstop. You want to get that right bumper. Well, we got to get the right center fielder or the right fielder to fill this whole car out. You know, and piece by piece, as we've created this chaos car, right? Now we stand here with this team that still, with all due respect and honesty, just keeping it real with you guys, is still has not performed 100%. Not even close of what they're capable of. This team has the capability offensively to be a 95-plus win team. And we'll get into more of that conversation as days go on and the conversation builds, right? But when you look at this record, right? And they're four games in first place. It's a decent build, but it can go away quickly. You can build it up just as fast as it could go away. That's the beauty of baseball. You never know what's really going to happen. You can kind of look at other teams and kind of figure out where you stand. But when you enter June in first place, this has not happened in 20 years. That the Mariners enter June in first place. Most people are like, really? Yeah. 2 decades this team has not been. 2001 was the last time this team entered June in first place. It's a neat stat. Thought you guys might enjoy that. Something for you guys to chew on. But let's get into the series recap that it was. And everybody grab your available brooms, whatever sweeping attire you have in your household, apartment, whatever you have, right? And do your best Miss Doubtfire impression possible, right? Because the Mariners swept aside these lazy, puny, pathetic Angels, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Not quite sure how you can be LA and Anaheim with one team. But I guess this is what you get when you're the Angels and your team sucks overall. And your manager hates to be there. He doesn't want to coach. He doesn't want to put in the effort. This team is a complete dumpster fire. I watched ineptitude. I watched a team crumble. Right? Like Bruce Almighty. You know, like they just crumbled at the feet of our... And it's not like we're such a superior team. Right? We are better than them in every aspect, but we're not some, you know, Astros of previous years with a prime Altuve, a prime Bregman, a prime Tucker, the list goes on, right? Verlander, Cole, Framber, right? We've seen the pitching, obviously. We haven't seen the hitting come to fruition quite yet, but in time it will come. I feel confident with this. But again, two out of the three pitchers, the starters in this series, go as Bump and Stacy like to go on, shout out 710 ESPN Seattle, a shutty, right? They pitch nada. You don't get zilch, nothing, zero, no crumbs, no scraps, nothing. You get no runs. Because we had a game plan entering this series, and it was evident game one in that crazy roller coaster of a ride that swapped grand slams, Taylor Saucedo, Joe Adell, J.P. Crawford, right? Fastball heavy was the plan this series. I watched it from Bryce. I saw it from Brian. I saw it from Luis. They're just like, hey, hit the fastball or go to the bench. And for the most part, they took the proverbial pine. But when you have a pitching staff that can say, we're going to use one dominant pitch, and we're just going to challenge you because we don't think that you can hit it. And they clearly could not hit it, mustering a whole 5 runs in 3 games, 4 of which came in game one on that grand slam via Joe Adell. But again, when you look at the overall landscape of where the Mariners stand, right? When you sweep the Angels, you have a 7-3 record in your last 10 games. Not to be repeating myself, but this is how my brain looks at this. Some people have been asking me, what am I looking for? What am I looking for and at in a ball game, right? I'm looking for consistency. I'm looking for professional, constant approach at the plate. Shout out Ryan Bliss for, you didn't think, you know, putting a rookie in a constant stable plate, you know, at when you're a rookie, right? You're not really expected to have that plate discipline like everybody else has. But what's beautiful about Ryan Bliss on this small side conversation here, that this rookie has come up. He has not looked overwhelmed. He has stepped in. He's played adequate defense. He's gotten on base multiple times, stolen multiple bases, got his first MLB hit. It's been a very successful debut, much better with all due respect. No due disrespect to Jonathan Clase. Clase looked overwhelmed from the beginning. First at bat, Clase did not look comfortable. Ryan Bliss looks like cool as a cucumber. He doesn't care. You know, slice them up, put them in Gatorade, whatever you want to do with your cucumbers, right? Make pickles for whatever you want to do, right? But Ryan Bliss has been an outstanding little spark plug addition. We have a roster move that doesn't involve Ryan Bliss. We'll get into here in just 1 second. But I want to talk about something that happened after Brian Wu's start, and then we're pretty much gonna be done with this series if it's the Angels, and we'll do the next transition here. So, for those of you who do not know, there was a report from Daniel Kramer of MLB Network, who also works for the Mariners, right, or covers the Mariners, excuse me, that Brian Wu was pulled after 66 pitches in his last outing because his, quote, pre-game throwing session program had been altered. So, better say what he altered. What do you mean altered? Changed. So, normally pitchers who, they do their start, the day after they rest, and then the next day they throw a bullpen. Brian Wu did not throw a bullpen. He threw off flat ground. He played elongated catch. He did his football routines, exercises, blah, blah, blah. But he did not throw his normal bullpen session because he didn't quite bounce back the way he was hoping or intending to. So when you have a lessened throwing program and you have a lessened pitch count, it is something to monitor. It is something to keep an eye on. I'm not going to freak out about it. I'm not going to slam a table with emotional damage and say we have a problem because Brian Wu and half of his starts hasn't been able to bounce back to full, you know, 100% tank status, right, for energy levels. It is concerning. I'm not going to freak out because Brian Wu has one of the best fastballs in all of baseball. I said it flat out. We saw it the other day, and just follow me. If you're not a big stats person, you might want to skip 15, 20 seconds, just giving you a heads up cursor ahead of time. Brian Wu in his 66 pitches threw 50 plus fastballs. Fastball/sinker, right? 2 fastballs because they're both fastball. One with just a tailing movement, obviously. But when you have a dominant pitch of such high regard that you can just throw a fastball over 80% of your start in general, you have a serious ability to create chaos on the mound because you're in the batter's mind of why the batter's thinking, why can't I hit a fastball? That's how I got here, is to hit fastballs. What we looked for, fastballs, hanging curveballs, right? So I hope that in the next day or so, like, we should be hearing, probably not today because today is off day. I don't know. I don't think they'll do anything baseball activity related today besides for rehab or, like, you know, stem machines, getting sore muscles worked out, bruises, stuff like that. But we'll probably hear something tomorrow about Brian Wu. He should be pitching his bullpen then. That will be very important to hear because, obviously, as we're talking about him missing it previously, we're going to want to see him get back on normal track here as soon as possible. The roster move I hinted at a few minutes ago is that Jonathan Clase has been returned back to AAA. No corresponding moves yet. Name to watch here will probably be Samad Taylor or Cade Marlowe, just because they're probably the closest. And Cade Marlowe, to be honest with you guys, has not had a good year in AAA. His strikeout numbers, percentages, I don't want to get too nerdy with it. He has an over 30% strikeout percentage in AAA. It's not good enough to even sniff the MLB level right now. He needs to get that down to 25-ish before we can have the conversation of bringing up Cade Marlowe back to the MLB, which would be fun because he did good things for us last year. It was a fun story. But Samad Taylor probably makes the most sense here, or something to watch. Would be like a waiver claim, or we can maybe do a small trade or something. But that's still a tad early when it comes to trades. You know, we are in June now officially, so it's not like, you know, we're the beginning of fall or the beginning of summer, excuse me. So we'll see what happens with that. I don't anticipate a trade, probably a waiver claim that requires a 26-man spot, which means possibly another MLB player off of another team. So we'll see what happens. I'll keep my ear out. If you want to hear about more information on that, follow me on Twitter at capital PNW Professor. Find me there. And then I want to reach on real briefly about the variations in the pitching windup of Bryce Miller. This is giving me a very strong Johnny Cueto vibe. For those of you who don't know who Johnny Cueto is, type it up on Google, YouTube, watch your videos. It will explain itself very, very quickly. Nestor Cortez is known for it also in New York with his different variation windups towards home plate, which obviously will affect your time towards the plate, which then affects your speed. It's just a big techie thing. I don't want to get into the whole nerdy aspects of it. It looks fun. It makes the batter's life absolutely holy hell. It sucks. I don't really remember myself playing against anybody who had variable windups, but man, if you did it, it was nasty and it was very difficult to get a consistent timing off of to build any kind of approach at the plate for that game. Julio Rodriguez's last 30 games, I want to just do a breakdown because obviously Julio has been a huge story in Seattle sports with the struggles this year and everything. Last 30 games, 269 average, 320 on base, 353 slug, 3 homers, 12 RBIs. Not really great. I mean, the average is okay, but everything else is kind of lackluster. The home runs are in the right direction, obviously, but the last 7 games have looked much more promising. 346 average, 393 on-base percentage with a 346 slug. The slug continues to go down, but we're seeing more average, more on-base percentage, more abilities to do all of that kind of stuff, which makes Julio Rodriguez that much more dangerous when we get him on the bases. Not that we want him to be stealing bases due to, you know, possible injury exposure, stuff like that, but it's just, we got to see more power. I can't really, you know, I'm not going to edge around. I'm not going to act like it's something that it's not. It's a concerning issue that Julio has been kind of power zapped this year. We've seen it across MLB. Matt Olson struggled. Ronald Acuna, before he got hurt, struggled. It's been a kind of a power outage. Some other weird guys have had a huge, you know, offensive outings in years, and props to them. It just hasn't happened for us quite yet. And the last conversation I want to have today is about the AL West home standing records for every team in this conference. And bear with me as I get a quick drink. Thank you. So something that I want to start with is I have numbered these from the standings and the AL West division. Here we go. Number one, Mariners, 21-11 at home. As I talked about a little earlier on this podcast, the Mariners have found a way and are finding consistent ways to win at home. Having a 10 games above record or 10 games above 500 record at home is absolutely phenomenal, especially at this point in the season when the saying is you need to take advantage of your home games, and the Mariners have been able to do that. There is not any other team besides for the Mariners and the Rangers, who are 14 and 13, who are above 500 in this conference at home. I don't know. It's just a down year in general for the AL West, but the Rangers at 14 and 13 are in second in this. Astros, 15 and 17. These teams, for the record, not anybody is really fantastic on the road. The Mariners are one game under 500 on the road, and everybody else is sub 500 on the road. So it's just kind of a weird year in general. Astros 15 and 17 sucks to suck. I don't really have much more to say on that. The A's are 13 and 16, a surprising bounce back, honestly. Most of them, you know, myself included, everybody kind of wrote them off this year about what you can expect. When it comes to the A's, they've been rebuilding. It's been announced they're going to Vegas. The Possums are falling out of the ceilings. I've talked about this ad nauseum. But this is where we're going. And in the upcoming series, with the last record, with the puny, worthless, disgusting Angels, who have a 7-21 record at home. Holy crap, that sucks. I don't really know much more to say. After watching this team, wouldn't be surprised if Ron Washington was gone after the year is gone. I don't advocate for that, but after seeing what this team has attempted to put up the last few weeks, this Angels team is in a bad spot. Something's going to happen, and no one's going to like it, but somebody's going to get the sacrificial guillotine. Kirby versus Spence will be game one in this upcoming series starting tomorrow in Oakland, 6:40 first pitch. And that's really going to be it for today. I didn't really know how long this was going to be. Just kind of wrote a couple quick notes, things I want to touch on, stuff like that. If you enjoy this conversation, the overall banter and the stats I bring to you today, please do me a huge favor. Subscribe, leave a rating. If you're on Spotify, please leave me a star rating. If you're on Apple, leave me a rating. Write something out. I will be checking these, getting some more feedback. If you want me to be doing mailbags, I would love to hear back. Find me again on Twitter, X, whatever the hell you want to call it. Capital PNW, Professor, find me there. And yeah, until then, hope you guys have a fantastic rest of your day. Stay dry in the old PNW, and I'll catch you guys then. Peace.